Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast.
All right.
I am Renee Coman, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
Hey, buddy. What's happening with
you? Oh, I'm good, man.
You are?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I know, I've been worse. I'll say that.
Oh, all right. Well,
but,
yeah.
So you know, I'm putting a good face on it. You know, I'm trying to trudge forward. You know, they said it was supposed to be 100 degrees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
but it was 110.
It was only like 96, so it's a bit of a respite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God, I walked out of my job today, you know, air-conditioned building. I walked out of the building on campus, and it was just like...
Sure, the wave of heat hits you, the glasses
like,
fog up.
Fuck, yeah, man. Yeah. And then I have like a five-minute walk to my car, and I was just like, God. It was like, do I really want to live here? You know, I don't know.
It's too late now.
It's fucking hot, man.
It's hot. It's hot.
It's fucking hot. But we talk about the heat all
right,
the time,
right, right. What
man.
You gonna do, you know? Well,
not go outside.
Right, right. Stay. Yeah, I went outside to get the newspaper today, then I came back inside and I stayed in until I went and got some bananas later on in the day. But
You got bananas, why?
I like bananas. I'm in the habit of eating at least one banana every day.
Because they're high in fiber?
Well, it's just
and potassium.
Well, that's.
Do you eat the skin?
Not anymore.
A lot of people. I used to eat the skin.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
and I throw out the banana and just eat the skin.
Huh? No.
I was crazy in my youth. You know, it was kind of weird. You know, trying to impress girls and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, did
that like
impress
that.
Them?
Some did. Yeah, yeah, some were impressed. You know,
right,
some
right.
got off on it. I don't.
Okay.
Know. You know. I remember I was thinking about this girl who I used to see back in the mid-80s. I was banging her for a few weeks okay. or so, or a few months. I can't remember.
Okay.
Her name was... I forget her name. Anyway, I don't want to give out her. But anyway,
sure, yeah.
She was one of these people who, you know, she was pretty hot looking, and but she never laughed.
Huh.
You know?
Like Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah, like Trump. Like no, she would always. It was very strange. She would like, you know, trying to press her, you know, with humor and stuff
uh-huh.
like that, which I, you know, I'm very good at.
Right.
And she would always smile and say to me, "Trip out on you, man." And I just thought that was the oddest thing.
Like,
it was
didn't ever have like an actual
yeah,
reaction,
she never
a
chuckled,
genuine
laugh, a gut laugh, you know, ha,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff. But she would just say. Trip out on you.
or, you know,
I was actually just thinking about it over the weekend. It was just like, because I was watching that episode of Seinfeld where he was dating this girl who never laughed. She would just say, "That's funny."
That's funny, right?
Yeah, you know that episode?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
He's got to get out of that relationship. And I thought of thinking, I go, you know, I dated a girl just like that. She would always just say, "Trip out on you, man," because she was Hispanic,
uh-huh.
you know, and so it was "Trip out on you, man." You're crazy, loco, you know. Anyway, she's now a judge in L.A. County,
okay,
for the prison district or not prison, the prisoners, you know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she's a good girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
I have pictures. Anyway,
okay.
I could bring her down in a minute. You know, if I wanted to.
But you're a good guy. You don't need to,
guy.
You need to reach back and
yeah.
break any more lives.
Yeah. Trip out on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what else is happening?
Well, you know, we met yesterday briefly here, and we confronted the boil water order that's been in place in New Orleans for 2 days. It was supposed to have been
going on 3 days.
Supposed to have been lifted today, but they did the test of you know 100 water samples, and one of them not far from here came back as contaminated. So they're continuing the.
Well, I blame this bar for that.
Well, you know. Well, we were in the, when you and I were briefly in here yesterday, we both got drinks with dirty ice and didn't bat an eye at it. And I was fine. You were fine, I'm sure, huh?
I woke up screaming, though.
But you do that every day.
You know, but I don't know. You know, this city's, you know, it's just... It's,
well, you know, if you drink the drinks fast enough, the ice doesn't have a chance to melt, so...
well, know. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. Yeah, so yeah, we're dealing with that here in New Orleans.
Right, you know. So then yesterday after I left you, went to my house at 10:30, the power went out. I only lived about 6 blocks away. Power was out from 10:30.
That's what caused this whole thing.
Well,
right?
Yeah, power outage, one of those balloons, one of those Mylar balloons over in Holly Grove. Somebody let it go and it hit the power line. And shorted
it's like a
out.
Birthday balloon, right?
It's a birthday balloon.
How
yeah,
can
yeah.
something like that it's, cause something like this?
It's a whole. Well, first it tripped the turbine at Surgeon Waterboard at the pumping station there, the water processing plant, which is right across the Claiborne Avenue, and the. This is like Keystone Cops, man. The employee on duty went to try to restart the process. He fell and had a like broke his head open and was bleeding severely. All the other employees came to rush to his aid. They spent like an hour trying to help him out. Now it turns out there's a 50-minute window that you can have these
50-minute window.
50 okay. window to have the power off to the processing, and they exceeded that by 10 minutes, which is why nobody has water in New Orleans for 2 days.
Well, fresh water, our clean water,
fresh clean water,
bacteria-free water.
You don't have potable water, as they
right.
say.
Right. Well,
so you got that going on. Meanwhile, since we're on the city government tip here, did you see sometime? I don't know, maybe last week, the new chief of police hit two pedestrians.
Emo Phillips.
With the police car. Did you see that? Where she
Well, it's funny because I saw the story. It says our chief of police, Emo Phillips, was in the French Quarter area downtown somewhere, and she hit two tourists. Were they tourists?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, she hit them with her car. I don't think there was... that hard or
No.
She just kind of tapped
injured,
him.
Right.
And it was the funniest thing because, you know, it was a big breaking news about this. And then the next story was the chief of police at Rock and Bull doing some kind of benefit.
Same chick.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, okay.
She's flooding the zone, as they say.
Who's producing
this
newscast?
Right.
Is what I want to know, you know. But anyway, she'll get it together. She, you know, that's nothing compared to other people in this city and other politicians.
Yes, I'm getting
officials.
To that.
Yeah,
getting to that. And Officer Vappy, who's on the security detail for our mayor, LaToya Cantrell, and they, you know, they're alleged to have had a romantic relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just arraigned yesterday, pled not guilty.
RICO Act,
it's 7 counts of wire fraud and 1 count
fraud,
of lying to the FBI, which always seems like a pretty chicken shit charge. You know, the FBI gets you in, they ask you a question that's, you know, you'd have to implicate yourself. You don't implicate yourself, and then they later find out, well, yes, you did this.
Well,
that's another charge.
I always think you should just say, I forgot. Like the old Steve Martin bit.
Well, it worked for Reagan, man.
Yeah, I forgot armed robbery was a crime. I just forgot.
Okay.
You know, I forgot murder was a crime. That's an old bit from the 70s.
Right.
But you know, Vappy, he's going down.
It seems pretty dinky what they've charged him with, but it's like where you start pulling at the thread on the sweater. And so in the indictment of him, the mayor is referred to as government official one.
Oh.
And I saw someone, former federal prosecutor, commenting on this in the news, and they were pointing out that it would be very unusual for the feds to name a public official in an indictment, and if they don't have plans to indict that person. So I think the statute of limitations is on whatever crime they think she's guilty of is coming up. So it's been in the wind. I know it's been reported.
Well, she's still
in
another year in office, though.
Well, yeah, yeah.
At least another year.
But the scuttlebutt seems to be that she may be indicted within weeks.
Good.
So our charges may be brought.
Trip out on her, man.
Right. Well, now, Manny, I was thinking if you do another, if you, you know, when the next campaign comes up, if you decide to run, I think you could get out in front and make a pledge that if elected mayor, you will not date anyone on your security team.
Right. Yeah.
Just get out there to clear the air. You know, just.
I won't even have a staff.
Okay.
Why even bother? I just need a driver.
Right. But you're not going to date him.
No.
Or her.
No.
Right, right.
I'll just sit in the back and go, take me there.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds fun. That kind of stuff. Anyway, so it's par for the course. And the heat, I think the heat builds. People are inside and they want to get out, you know, and stuff like that. Most people do. And apparently there's something that happened last Saturday that people went out for, and it was like 110 degrees.
Hmm.
And it's the annual White Linen Night.
Yes, I went.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I actually did.
Yeah, I was invited to go by an artist friend of mine. And I just told him, I just, it's just too fucking hot to go out.
It was way hot. You did the right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the white linen brings all the tourists from Metairie.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. And they pack the weather is hot, but then all those bodies all packed together.
Yeah.
And you can't really see the artwork properly.
When I used to live in that neighborhood, it was easy just to go for a few minutes and then leave.
Right.
But, you know, and then it's like you got to wear white and all that because it's white linen night. And I was thinking the only thing I have that's white is a hood, you know. So I didn't want to go. You know, it's too hot, you know.
Yeah, that hood's hot too, man. It's hard to let the air circulate.
Yeah.
And linen's supposed to be cool.
Yeah, exactly. But no, and I felt bad because my artist friend, he's a great artist, and he I actually saw him a week before, and he really was begging me to go.
And he had a show down there in Julia?
Yeah, on one of those galleries. Well, he has it every year. He's been doing it for about 10 years now. His name is Will Smith, which not the actor who.
Oh
slaps
no, I
people.
Know Will Smith. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. The
yeah and
landscape artist sort of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
a fine
in fact,
painter.
He was out there also. Apparently, there's some new rum drink, a local new rum drink, that he did the art on the bottle or can.
Oh,
for.
Okay.
And they were giving out free shots of rum of this stuff with his artwork on it and stuff like that. And that was, he was trying to entice me with that. And I just said, you know, I ain't going to make it, dude. There's just no way. If it's over 80 degrees, I'm not going out there.
Yeah, it was hot. I went down there. I met Michael Dees and my sister. We were there briefly. I also stopped by Anthony Del Rosario's Nolanacular.
I don't know who that is.
He's a guy that had Turducken Productions, did many, many music shows, produced many shows at the Mermaid.
Turducken Productions?
Turducken Productions,
really?
Yeah. He had this guy. This guy's a fucking powerhouse, man. He's a great printmaker, artist, you know, collects photographs of all this signage. Like.
I'm amazed he was able to get that name because, you know, the first turducken was at Hebert's Meat Market in Maurice, Louisiana.
Yeah.
And
right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, and you know, the Madden. John Madden.
John Madden, sure. He was crazy for the turducken.
Oh, he used to get him like every year for the
Thanksgiving
bowl games, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of popularized it nationally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Turducken Productions.
Yeah. Sometimes, some years I remember watching that, his thing after the game. It had five legs.
No, I've seen eight.
Eight legs on it.
I've seen eight legs.
Yeah. That's, okay. That's crazy. He was crazy.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Trip out on him, man, you know. So.
Wouldn't fly in an airplane. No, took
well,
a
that's
bus
why
everywhere.
He quit coaching.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He never went to the Pro Bowl.
Oh, no.
It was always in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the first year they had the Pro Bowl in Miami, which I thought was crazy.
He went to it.
He went to it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he had a turducken. Yeah, he loved the turducken.
Yeah, he loved
I've them. Had them. They're pretty good.
When
they're done right, I guess. Anything's good if it's done right.
Well, you know, it's all boneless.
Yeah.
They're the boneless.
Yeah. Now, do they deep fry it, the turducken?
They do.
They throw it in the frickin' fryer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, for how long? About?
I don't know.
It's turkey, duck.
Yeah, you would think, you know,
and between chicken.
18, and chicken.
18 and 30, 18 and 30 minutes, probably.
All, yeah.
You know? Because they probably weigh 20 pounds.
Yeah, with all those layers, a lot of insulation. You know? You got to make sure that you get that internal temperature.
That's all condensed.
Now, what's the best skin? The turkey, the chicken, or the duck? What's the best skin to eat? Because I love eating the skin.
I would think the chicken.
I would think so, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like the chicken.
It has a little bit more fat to it.
Yeah, the chicken.
Well, you want them to be crispy, well, though.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think next would be probably the turkey.
Yes,
duck is a little more...
It's a little dry.
It's dry.
It's dry.
Yeah.
All those feathers, too, man.
Yeah, all the feathers.
No
yeah,
good.
Well, they all got feathers.
That's true. That's
they
true.
All got
That's
feathers.
Yeah, you just have to pluck them.
All yeah, right, you just got to plug them and stuff like that. But anyway, what else is going on with
well,
you?
Well, the Olympics is...
The Olympics.
Still, we finally got to the track and field.
Yeah, that's your
events.
Favorite.
I like the track and field. I like the long jump. I was watching last night the hurdles. Now, did you see earlier in the week, they had the pole vaulting?
Yes,
and,
the pole vaulting.
They had the French guy.
The boy from Lafayette.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He went to LSU. No, he's from Sweden.
Yeah, Mundo something.
Yeah, he's from Sweden, but he went to LSU.
He's amazing.
Okay.
But for some reason, he decided to represent... He's born and raised here.
Right.
Why is he representing Sweden?
That's what he's doing?
Yeah, he represented Sweden, not America.
Maybe he couldn't find a spot on the American team, and, you know, that happens. People go out
freelance. The Americans would have just said, you're the best in the world. You can play for us.
Yeah, that's
weird. He set the world record... For the ninth time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. Maybe it had some, I don't know, some incentives somewhere along the line.
Well, you know, I was watching some of it the last few days. I don't understand these races, you know, especially the ones that are over like 200 meters, where the person in lane one starts like so far back from the person in lane eight.
You know what? I've never understood.
I don't understand
that.
Why don't they just all start at the same line?
Well, because it's a curved track, so the inside is a shorter distance than the outside.
But the inside people never seem to win. I noticed the last like five races I watched, the people in lanes one through three always finish last, where the people in 8, 9, and 10 always finish first.
Well, I think what happens is the higher you qualify in your qualifying heats, you get a choice of lanes, and I think the best lanes are the middle ones.
Aren't these already qualifying heats to begin with? Because they weren't the finals. They were
that's true.
These
so
were
I don't
like
know
the
how
quarterfinals.
They, I don't know
stuff.
How they set who gets.
It just seems unfair because the people in lanes 1, 2, and 3 never win.
Right.
Not these like 200, 400 meter races.
Well,
they never win.
Because the guys who are favored, who have scored in whatever preliminary scores.
Once you get to the Olympics, shouldn't it all be, you know, fair and square? We all start at the same line.
Yeah, it's something about that race.
It's the fucking Greeks, man.
There's a strategy to be able to. Like know where you are in the field, and in that, I mean, I think it adds an element of difficulty.
Don't they do the 100 meter dash?
Yeah,
just straight.
Straight.
Okay.
Yeah, they do the 100 meter straight.
Straight, right.
But all these other 200, 300, 400 meter fights, they all start at different positions. Way, you know, the person in lane 9 is way ahead of the person in lane 1.
Right.
I don't get it.
But then you got to, it's just gauging how fast you're running against a field that you can't tell where they are.
Yeah,
and
that's bullshit.
Makes it more complicated.
Yeah.
Now, but did you see the pole vaulter, the French pole vaulter? This is all the news where he had cleared the bar with his body, except his dick wound up hitting the pole.
Oh.
You see that?
Oh, well, those French.
Knocked the pole down.
He was problem. Those Frenchies are crazy. He probably had an erection.
He didn't, but he looked half chubbed up, though, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So it was.
It went viral.
Well, it did go viral. Yeah. It's all really? Over all over YouTube. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now he's a porno star.
Well, he's they'll know who he is if he shows up. They'll be going.
And what is his name?
Amirati. Something Amirati.
That's a good porn name.
Maybe he can hook up with Hocktaw.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
You know, or Lin Duck Wang.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't know. Well,
right.
I didn't see it. I don't want to see it. But trip out on him.
Trip
man.
Out on him.
He's crazy going nuts. That guy.
All right. Well, that's about all I got. Maybe we should get to our guest.
Okay. Huh? Sure. We'll get to our guest.
Okay.
I showed up.
Showed up.
I showed up. Take two. All right. You know, that shows you when you have a guest of the kind of quality we have tonight, you'll reschedule not once, but twice.
I apologize.
That's all right. That's all right. Look, so we have a fantastic guest tonight. We've he doesn't live in New Orleans, had to make a ride. We appreciate him coming.
Because they kicked him out.
Coming. He's out in Rice Country out there in Central Louisiana, Lafayette area. But he's a Grammy Award winning accordion player, a powerhouse singer, songwriter, band leader. He's a member of the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame, the Gulf Coast Hall of Fame, the Cajun French Music Hall of Fame. He's
the Hall of Shame.
He's had a tremendous career. We're going to get into all that and more. But without further ado, the great Mr. Wayne Toups. Welcome, Wayne.
Thank you, Renee. I appreciate it.
Le Boss, as they refer to him.
Yeah. Le Boss.
That came from an old producer named Bob Johnson. He came up with that in 1988. So
now that was kind of like because they saw you as like the Cajun Bruce Springsteen.
Well, we were doing 3-hour shows back then without any breaks.
Right, and at that time. Bruce was kind of a sex symbol thing going.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. He was doing them shows, and you know he's much older than me. You know.
Yeah,
so.
But you had this was in the era of the tank top, the jean shorts. Yeah. You had the headband, the muscles.
Yeah, that was some crazy times for
sex
me.
Sex symbol.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get into all that. But let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the early days of Wayne Toups.
Okay.
So you grew up in Crowley, is that correct?
I was born and raised in Crowley, Louisiana. That's about 20 miles west of Lafayette.
And Crowley is famous for they had the great Jay Miller's recording studio there.
Jay Miller was there, and that's where Edwin Edwards. He was actually born in Marksville, but he settled down in Crowley and did his law work from there.
Okay, so did you know the Edwards family?
I did. You know, my dad knew his brothers.
So you're talking about Governor Edwards.
Yeah, Governor Edwards.
Went to jail.
Edwin Edwards, absolutely.
And he came out of jail.
Absolutely.
And won again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I
like that guy.
He's a good guy. No, I was telling my son a story. I was telling a Edwin Edwards story the other day, which my children had never heard, because somehow the race when David Duke was running for governor and Edwin ran against him, and I was talking about what a silver tongue Edwin Edwards had.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, Edwin Edwards said, well, you know, there's one thing that me and David Duke have in common. We're both wizards under the sheets.
There you go. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
David Duke having been a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah,
you know?
And Edwin on to White Linen Knights.
sure. And Edwin being a famous coxman, a ladies' man. But
I had a child at 83.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, I was born and raised in Crowley.
Okay, and that's like Rice Country, is that correct?
Oh yeah, the rice capital of the United States.
Wow. Now, so tell us about your family, mom and dad there.
My parents split when I was 5.
Okay.
And my daddy was 53 when I was born. Hmm. I live with my dad. You know, he was an old retired farmer.
Uh-huh.
You know. By the time I started going to school in 64, 65, if you remember right, that was the first year of segregation.
Oh, okay.
You know, so my first year of school was the first year
of desegregation, integration.
Integration. Okay, right. That's right. You know,
okay.
And It was a serious time, you know.
And, right. Now, were you?
My daddy couldn't speak English.
Really? So you grew up speaking
Acadian French? Yes.
Okay.
Acadian dialect out of Nova Scotia. Yes.
Now I know at that time, in many cases that was discouraged, like a lot of.
Well, it was. You know, my older sister and brother, they couldn't speak English with their first 2 years at school. You know.
So the school taught in Cajun French?
They did not.
Oh, okay.
they just did not.
Nodded, you know?
They just couldn't understand. That's why they failed their first 2 years.
Oh, okay.
You know? They couldn't understand, you know, English. But anyway, getting back to that, you know, I listened to Cajun music all my life, you know. My dad and them would take me to the dance halls before they separated. They'd take me to the dance halls, and they had a little place where you set the kids, and they go dancing to the French music and stuff, and you know.
Right now, the term fade au dos, doesn't it have something to do with make sleep?
Fade au dos, make sleep.
Right, so it was like a dance where you could bring your kids,
exactly.
And the kids could go fall
absolutely.
Asleep.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
That's what my grandmother would say. My grandma was not Cajun French, but she grew up in New, you know, born in New Orleans.
Right.
She'd say, "Go make dodo."
And the original slogan was "Bal de maison." House dance,
okay.
And they'd have them at the houses. You know, we're talking about, you know, during the time when Amédée Ardoin, 1928, and Angelos Lejeune and Joe Falco and all them, they were making music back then.
And that's the bands that you were seeing, or
not me, because they were all passed away by the time I was.
Well,
you know,
do you remember any of the bands that were playing when you were like or something?
You know, Belton Richard and Alice Roget and. You know, Nathan Abshire, that was all icons, you know.
Now, those kind of bands, did they have drummers? What was the instrumentation of
typical
band?
Well, you know what, when I first started listening to that stuff, you know, live, you know, there was a drummer, a steel guitar player, a fiddle player, and a bass player, or a rhythm guitar player.
Not accordion.
Oh, an accordion.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and an accordion, yeah. Accordion, fiddle, steel, electric guitar, and drum, or a bass guitar and drums.
Okay.
You know?
So still pretty modern.
Oh, yes. They started modernizing that stuff. I remember Ira Lejeune had a steel guitar on one of his tunes, probably back in 1956, 55 or 56. But it was still just fiddle, acoustic guitar, accordion, and a steel guitar, you know, they didn't have bass, you know.
Now, and so you were like 10 or teen, young,
yeah,
you know,
started,
somewhere,
you know,
around,
yeah,
there.
They started modernizing that stuff when Belton Richard came around, you know, and Alice Roget.
Now, some of these guys, so you and I were just in Hawaii. This was maybe our third or fourth time
uh-huh.
that we were at the Big Island Jazz and Blues Festival
yes.
out there. And this was one of my favorite groups of people that was over there, the collection of people. And
you talk about Beau Soleil, Michael Doucet and David.
Michael and David Doucet and Roddy
amazing.
Romero.
Roddy's an amazing musician. Good accordion player, good guitar player, good singer.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. And so I was going to ask you, did you know those like the Doucets when you were growing up?
You know what? I met Michael... I met Michael and David around 85, I believe.
Okay, so not when you were a kid.
No, I didn't know who they were.
Now, guys like Clifton Chenier and
I met Mr. Clifton in 84.
Okay.
That was the first time I ever met him. I only met him once.
All right.
Wait. Let's go back. So year are you born in?
1958.
Okay, so are your parents musical?
No, I'm the only musician in the band.
In the family.
In the family.
Okay, so what turns you on? You just go, your parents are taking you to these fade au dos concerts
and
stuff?
Well, you know what? I didn't go to sleep. I had an older brother that was 9 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
And he borrowed an accordion from my uncle on my mother's side.
Okay.
And he only wanted to play when he drank.
Oh, well. Yeah,
he only wanted to play when he drank. So he taught me a song, and you know, the good Lord did the rest, my friend.
Oh,
so you took to it?
Absolutely. In 2 weeks, I knew way more songs than he did.
did you study with anybody, or
no.
You just went and watched those other guys?
Well, you know, yeah,
play?
You know, I started going to see a band by the name of Shine Mouton. He was an accordion maker in Crowley. Hmm. And I'd go there on Saturday, and on Saturdays he had his jams, mm-hmm. his jam session. And I picked up a lot of skill there, and you know, from him. And
would they let you sit in with him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I could just play with anybody there. Actually, those days there, I got a chance to play with Dennis McGee, who was really famous. Dennis McGee and Sadie Corville,
yeah.
They played with Amit de Ardoin back in 1928.
Wow.
You know, and it was a great time, you know. A big learning lesson for me. I got a chance to, you know, to play with Mr. Milton Adams and then Mr. Walter Mouton. And they all taught me. They didn't sit down and teach me.
Sure.
I watched how they played, and the good Lord did the rest.
And if you had a question, they would
absolutely
answer your question.
Absolutely.
Right, right. Now, when do you have your first band? When do you
start
becoming a band leader?
Well, you know what? Let's see here. I started learning how to play the accordion in February of 72. And by November, I knew enough songs to play a four-hour dance.
And you were singing, too, at this time?
I was, yes.
Okay. Were you always the kind of powerhouse singer that you are now?
No. You know, singing those old French songs, trying to sing like, you know, the old people want to hear, you know?
Uh-huh. And what was that like?
Well, you know, what the old... you know,
right.
That old crying torture conviction, you know. They love
yeah.
that stuff, you know. And in the happy song, you had to sing with a little happy dialect to make them, you know, jump a little bit, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it was all a learning experience, you know. I had three Cajun bands during the 70s. And then I quit, you know, for a 5-year stretch.
Huh, really?
You went to prison?
No, I worked in the office, but I didn't go to prison later on.
You worked
where? We'll get
you
to that.
You worked where?
That's in another section.
Okay, you worked where?
I went to work in the oil field.
Oh, the oil fields. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You just think it's hot.
That was during the oil boom.
Yeah.
Hey, you just think it's hot, my friend.
Right here. Yeah. It was hot
oh,
out
yeah.
there in the oil field.
Around all that iron.
Sure.
In the middle of summer.
Right.
You know, it's 100 degrees outside. It's 112 on stage.
God.
You know, on the platform.
On the platform.
You know, yeah.
On stage.
You know,
yeah.
It's the same thing, you know.
Sure.
Out there on the Gulf.
No, I was on land.
Oh, okay.
I was on land, you know. So I did that for about a 5-year stretch.
Now, why? Why did you do it?
Well, you know, I married my first time.
Okay.
My wife got pregnant.
I wanted
to be a provider.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, making $12 a night just wouldn't cut it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, playing music.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So I did that for a little stretch, and then my daddy passed away in 82. And then I put a band together called Cajun Creole. In that time, though, I started listening to the Allman Brothers.
Oh, okay.
And Delbert McClinton and Stevie Ray Vaughan and them, you know.
And Elton John.
Actually, I did listen to a little bit of Elton, but Lynyrd Skynyrd.
He's a big influence.
That's where I got my Southern rock feel.
Okay, so because then the lady you came out with, Zida Cajun, was like, you know, it's a kind of a, not only the name of one of your records,
right.
Your very early records, also kind of defined.
That's right. You know, listening to Clifton, the way he sang and interpreted that stuff, he had that old greasy feel, you know, and it was almost like a Cajun blues, a Zydeco blues, you know. He was taking those songs that Ray Charles did in the 50s,
right.
And making them into Zydeco songs. So it gave it a greasy blues feel, you know.
Right, and you heard that, and you listened to the Allman Brothers.
Absolutely,
you thought,
yeah.
Oh, this fits in, too.
You combine that, you know, with my Cajun ancestry. It came out as Zydeco Cajun. I call it Zydeco Cajun, which was the Cajun rhythm and blues that are rocky socks off.
Nice. And the crowds went crazy for it.
You know, when it was something different, something new, a breath of fresh air, you know, people had been talking about, man, our Cajun heritage is dying, and there's nobody, you know, playing Cajun music anymore, and none of our younger generations are picking up the language. And when that came out, it was like a whole breath of fresh air, you know. They actually had somebody that could actually sing in the Cajun dialect because I've recorded some really nice old some Cajun waltzes on that record too.
Did you hook up with Jay Miller early on?
Yeah, Mr. J. I recorded four records for Mr. J. Actually, the first two, and then the next two, I did it with Mercury, Polygram.
Okay.
But they bought the first two. You know? Nice.
So when those records get out into the world, that's when like the world at large starts hearing this music.
Oh yeah, it was a shit storm after that. You know, we signed after Steve Popovich heard the Johnny Can't Dance CD, he signed us to Mercury in 1988. We come out with Blast from the Bayou, and we went out on tour. We did 265 days that year.
Now, who else was on Mercury at that time? The other acts that were...
Let's see, David Lynn Jones, Kathy Mattea, you know, Def Leppard was there, Cinderella.
Oh, I love Cinderella.
You know, they were all there.
Good,
you know,
man. You ever tour with them?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I toured with Carole King.
Oh.
Wow, now how'd you get on the Carole King tour?
She asked for us.
She was a fan.
Well, she heard the Blast from the Bayou CD.
Uh-huh.
And I was with the... Monterey International out of Chicago, the booking agency.
Uh-huh.
And they got the call, and we went. We did 23 dates with her. She was amazing.
I'll bet, yeah.
I said, a sweetheart, too.
Yeah.
You know, a sweetheart of a lady.
I hear she likes to, you know.
Not on that tour.
Not on that tour?
No, sir.
I never heard that.
Yeah, I know.
Manny's
no, sir.
The,
not on that
drinking,
tour, sir.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard that.
No, really? Not on that tour. She was as sweet as ever. You know, she took us under her wing. Our bus broke down four times on that tour.
Yeah.
And one time she just pulled over to the side, made everybody get on her bus, and took us to the next venue till we get another bus.
Y'all were playing all around the United States?
Oh, yeah, man. We did our last one was Universal Amphitheater.
In L.A.?
Yeah, nice. In L.A.
Yeah.
That was in 89, her City Streets tour.
Now, as you're doing that, getting in front of all these people that hadn't heard all this music, what was their reaction to this?
Well, you know what?
Blowing their minds?
Well, you know what? I think there was... We had some good reactions. You know, some people were, you know, kind of puzzled because they'd never seen a squeeze box player playing a Southern rock feel music.
Right.
You know?
It was the worst dancing in an audience you ever saw, probably. Right?
Well, you know what? They definitely was trying, but I seen some stumbling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I also seen where... They appreciated it so much, they didn't want to dance. They wanted to just listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, just check it out. You know, check out the sound. They'd never heard anything like that before, you know?
Sure.
And listen, in the midst of touring with Carole King, you know, we'd get some breaks from her. And we'd go up and up for, you know, Tower Power and Elvin Bishop and Ray nice. Charles and, you know, the Radiators.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And Devo. Did you open for Devo once?
No.
I think I was at that show.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe.
No.
Devo?
Yeah, Devo.
No, I don't believe.
It was kind of a new wave band.
But you know what? And listen, you know, and all of that, we were playing every year the Jazz Festival. You know?
Oh, yeah. Now, where is that Jazz Fest?
New Orleans Jazz Festival?
Yeah,
really?
Oh, it's in New Orleans?
The New Orleans
it's
Jazz
Festival. Right by your house.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's a couple blocks from your house.
All right.
Now,
so I went to it once.
That'll be bullshit, man.
Yeah, I saw one of the worst bands ever at Jazz. But go ahead.
Was it us?
No. Danielle and Wah. It was horrible.
I saw the same show. I liked it. But, you know, it goes to show you that there's no accounting for taste.
Well, you know, a different perspective, they call that.
That's right.
That's why we live in free America, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
You don't have to go. If this was Russia, they would shoot you if you didn't go see Daniel Lanois.
Yeah, well, I got free tickets.
Oh, well, there you go, you know?
Yeah, anyway. Go ahead.
I never had a chance to meet you. You said Daniel Lanois?
Yeah, Daniel Lanois.
So I never had a chance to meet him.
Did he die?
He's incredible.
No, he's still quite alive.
Well, you have still a chance.
Well, maybe so, you know?
Yeah. Let's hook him up together.
He's like French...
Yeah, but I never had a chance to be. I heard some really good things about him. You know?
Yeah, no, he's a very talented guy.
I heard he was amazing.
He's very, very talented.
I heard he was amazing, you know.
Well, Manny, I'm looking at the clock and my drink, and it seems like it's about that time.
Sure. Listen.
Wayne.
Mr.
Wayne, too.
Yeah. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And you and your wife can go to the backseat of your car if you want, or go to the restroom. And the Troubled Nation knows what to do. We'll be right back.
Bob the John Nipple, let don't say. Bob the John Nipple, I don't say. You not see it, you not say it. Bob the John Nipple, I don't say.
Back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet. I am Renee Coman. Back with our guest, Mr. Wayne Toops.
Wayne Toops.
Yes.
Wayne Ford.
Wayne Ford?
Mr. Chevrolet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Wayne, whatever your last name is, I know you haven't heard the podcast before, but the Troubled Nation is aware of our model that we're using, which we don't have any corporate sponsorship. You know, we have some consideration from the Klempire, from Snake and Jake's, but primarily we're operating on listener support. And we have a PayPal link and a Venmo link there in the show notes of every show, as well as the Facebook page. And devoted listeners support the podcast. They buy us drinks. They sometimes they'll use the link. Sometimes they'll send cash in an envelope Snake and Jake's
That's
Christmas
what we
Club
want.
Lounge.
Let me ask you something. Would you mind if I shared this on my YouTube channel?
Oh, no, we appreciate that.
Great.
Or your Facebook page.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. Now you can share it everywhere.
Sharing is the way to go.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
lifeblood. I didn't know that until like 8 days ago. Sharing is the way to go with all this internet crap.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we have the links there. We also have the Patreon page for our patrons who we have a handful of patrons that are there week in and week out supporting us, and we do appreciate them. We also have the link to the Patreon page is right there in the show notes as well. We also have the link for the Troubled Men podcast T-shirts and tank tops. If you wanted to go back to your tank top days, we have my son has one of the tank tops. He's still in his beefcake stage.
That's good.
He's a young man. Follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. Also, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Costs you nothing. Helps us a lot. Yes, Manny?
Do you have a sticker for Wayne?
I have stickers for Wayne. Okay. Reminding me.
Every guest
I always
gets a
forget.
Sticker.
Yeah. Have a few,
get, give him a
few stickers
so
for you
can...
and your lovely wife, Jody, yeah. There.
Troubled men.
Yeah, and you could stick it anywhere you want.
I know a few of them.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do. That's why you're here.
Thank you.
Let's see, I also want to mention our good friend and former guest, Chris Champagne.
Yes.
Has a new political satire show that he's been preparing. It's coming out he's doing a big show on September 7th at Gallier Hall, former City Hall of New Orleans, right there on St. Charles
Place
Avenue.
Where I saw Ernie Cato's dead body.
Okay, you saw the it held in what do they call that?
A state.
In
state of whatever.
Ernie Cato.
I lived a few blocks away, and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, said, "Let's go see his dead body." And I was like,
they had him embalmed.
Yeah, they had him embalmed, and it was creepy.
Yeah, they dragged his embalmed body around to a whole bunch of places, man. They might still have him there at the mother-in-law lounge.
Mr. Champagne.
Oh yes,
would he be opposed to hearing his Cajun name?
Go
Champagne.
Ahead. Yeah, no, I think I think he's probably heard that before. Yeah, he's from here. But yeah, so check out Chris Champagne's show there, September 7th, 8 p.m. at Gallier Hall.
Yeah,
and he'll have a political commentary on Mayor LaToya Cantrell. He'll be roasting her as well as Jeff Landry and a lot of politicos around town. Also, I want to mention Loose Cattle, a band I've play with, has a new album. The first single came out just the other day. Have a record coming out, the whole album coming out on like November 1st or so, in early November. It's called Someone's Monster, and it's available for pre-order now. And look for that first single further on. Also, the Iguanas will be out in September in the Midwest and Northeast. We're going to the Midwest by ourselves and then hooking up with the great Sonny Landreth.
Awesome.
On a co-bill tour of the Northeast there in the latter part of September.
Hey, you know, Sonny played on my first record.
Now, so you remember Sonny when he was young man?
Oh
huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were all young.
I can remember when Sonny had to quit singing for about a year because he was having trouble with his vocal cords.
Yeah. Now Sonny came up playing with Clifton.
Yes.
Chenier in that band, and was Sonny always the monster that he is now?
He was always an amazing player.
From the time he was a teenager.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, nobody. I have never heard nobody play slide guitar like him. He does a little fret behind it. The last time I seen him on a concert live, it was with Eric Clapton. And Eric's looking at him like,
"How are you doing that?
How's he doing that?"
Right. I know, he gets some crazy sounds out of the thing, man.
That's amazing. That rig he's using, the guitar weighs about 40 pounds, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sonny, you know, I've been filling in for Dave Ranson some on bass as Dave's recovering with his health
issues.
Yeah,
he's doing some shows with Cindy Cashdollar.
He's out there with Cindy Cashdollar
I met her years ago on the Delbert McClinton cruise. She was with Sleep at the Wheel.
Oh, okay.
You know?
She's amazing. She came and sat in with the last gig that I did with Sonny up when we were on tour with the Iguanas. We were doing a co-bill. Cindy came and sat in with us for the whole show.
She's a sweetheart.
She's such a sweetheart and plays great.
Amazing.
Amazing musician. So you can check out all those dates at iguanas.com or, look on my Facebook page in the show notes there. I think that's about enough of that. Let's back to our guest, Mr.
Now, Sonny, have we ever had him on the show?
No. I want to have Sonny on the show. I'm getting to know Sonny now. I've spent another 3 or 4 days in the van with him. You know, he's getting to know. Wayne,
he's starting
to
open up a little bit.
Is it? What is he? Is he a racist or something?
No. In fact, Sonny was like the only white guy in that whole band, Clifton Chenier band, when he was a kid.
He's been quiet.
Why does he want to come on the show?
He's quiet.
He's a reserved guy. Yeah, he doesn't like a lot of blabbing, as he says.
He loves to drink good Cabernet wine, though, good French wine.
He will have a few glasses of wine after the show, and he and I have had some really lovely conversations.
Absolutely,
where he definitely loosens up and he appreciates my humor. I wasn't sure about.
He's better than people.
No. He's an amazing salt of the earth, a humble guy, amazing musician.
I don't know what that means, salt of the earth. What does that mean?
You know, like a real solid person. Salt of the earth. What does that mean, Wayne?
I don't know what that means.
Salt of the earth, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Humble. I mean, that's what that means.
Yeah, and like a good person.
Yeah, no,
know,
he's humble. You know, he comes from a great background, good family oriented. You got you know, the tools to
But he's better than us to come on the podcast.
No, no, he will come on the podcast. He just lives in Lafayette. We got to, you know,
Live in Lafayette.
Well, I live in Eunice, Louisiana.
Eunice.
Oh, wow.
Which is where, you know, the patron saint of this this podcast is Kelly Keller, who is from Eunice, Louisiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's from
and
Eunice.
And she, the worst funeral ever I've ever been to.
Yeah, I didn't go. You know,
I went to it. It was horrible.
I wanted to go and
but you were playing with Sonny Landreth.
No, not that I wasn't. But anyway, I'll be out again with Sonny Landreth or the Iguanas will. Anyway, back to our guest, Mr. Wayne Toops.
Yeah, that's all right.
So Wayne, we were talking about your out on Mercury, and you're playing all around the country doing these three-hour shows in your Beefcake stage. You're a real sex symbol at that time. I know because the Iguanas were playing shows with you. We were on the festival circuit together in the 90s.
That's right.
And, you know, we would see you, and like, wow, look at that guy, man. The girls are going crazy. Now,
wife is here. Why are you saying that?
She knows all about it.
They weren't married at the time. So
she knows all about
it. He can tell these stories. He was a single man at the time, imagining, or close enough to it.
Close.
now you were... you know, like the women were throwing underwear. It's almost like a Tom Jones kind of thing, huh?
I don't know about that, but yeah. It was a fun time, my friend. You know that?
Right, right.
We had some great times.
Now, the drummer on Sonny's band now, Brian Breniak, guy I love, he was on your band for 5 years.
He had a 5 year deal with us. Brian's an amazing human being and a great, great artist.
Amazing drummer.
Oh, yes, he is.
Funny guy too.
Man. Oh no, he got some jokes with him.
Got to get him on the podcast.
You know,
he
was around us for 5 years. He's got to have some jokes.
Right,
you know?
right. Oh. We were telling some Wayne Toop stories.
We had some fun time when we went to Denmark and you know, Paris and all that. It was good. You know?
Well. So not only were you touring the United States, y'all were going all around the world. Now, what did when you go to Denmark? Or, you know, Holland or something. What is the reaction of those people? Now?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. So the first time we played Skagen in Denmark, they put us in an auditorium.
Now, Skagen is a club or a city?
No, it's a city.
Okay.
It's, and they put us in this like auditorium-style facility. Probably 3,000-4,000 people there, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's having a good time, man. And we get to the breakdown and Please Explain. And all of a sudden, everybody starts going, hey.
Oh.
And I've been doing it ever since. And that's been 30 years, almost 30 years now.
Wow. Now, they started spontaneously?
They started doing it spontaneously.
Now, what is that? You have no idea what that is.
I had no idea.
Those Dutch are crazy.
But you know what? I adapted to it, and I think it was them telling us they were having a super time. Nice. And we adapted to that, and we had a great time with them, you know?
Well, that's like some of those audiences, they you know, it's for their reactions. We're not used to it as performers. Like you were saying, Manny, like the girl who said, that's funny. Like they wouldn't laugh. Like sometimes people, they don't react so much. And then at the end, it'll be a standing ovation.
Well, yeah, you know, and listen, you know, we were on, I did 20 years before I ever played a venue where everybody was sitting down. And, I didn't know how to act.
Right.
You know, I mean, how are they going to take this?
So it's like the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan.
So you know what you do?
Them sitting
you
down.
Go out there and you do exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And let them enjoy it just as much as you.
Right.
And
you just got to get used to it yourself.
I remember the first time we did Ravinia in by Chicago. It's an amphitheater.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there was a lot of, it's a sit down thing, you know. People love to dance when we play. And
man, it's kind of weird if you're used to people dancing and they're all just sitting down.
Yeah,
and
there's about three or four or five couples get up and they start dancing, but they're dancing on the orchestra pit floor.
Uh-huh.
So then the security come.
Drag them off, yeah.
Drag them off.
Because you're now, Renee is playing to the AARP crowd, right? Is that what's going on?
Well, no, no, this was years ago.
This is back, you know, 89, maybe 90, 91.
We were all young then.
And the old boy says, man, we got alligators back home bigger than him, the one that pulled me off the floor.
Yeah.
They didn't want him to go through the floor.
Right, right, fall down.
Because the Arkansas spit this thin. Yeah. Okay. They bounce it all over it, you know? And if four or five of them get on there, then they start following, and all of a sudden, just, you know, so.
You lose the whole crowd.
They stopped them.
A lot of lawsuits. You know? Now that Cajun beat, man, I've noticed this, even a band doing a sound check, the audience that's there ahead of time, the drummer will start playing a beat, and the people will get up and start dancing.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
band, the rest of the band isn't even playing
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, now that's...
They just hear that Cajun beat,
it's
man.
It's infectious, man. It really is.
They can't help themselves.
It's infectious, I'll tell you, man. You know, we've had some great times over the years, you know. We've had our downfalls like everybody else. We go through peaks and valleys, you know. But
it's
we've
life.
Had more peaks than valleys, and I'm proud to say that.
Right.
You know.
Now, so at that time, you start doing like State Department tours.
In 1987, a friend of mine named Barry Ancelet, he was a professor of college at UL for 30 years or so.
Right.
He got me with the United States Information Agency. Mm. The USIA tour, which sponsored cultural exchange tours.
Okay.
And they sent me to South and Central America in 87.
What was that like?
Now, if you remember right, that's during the Contra War.
Right.
Right. We were right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. I mean, you think a lot of people complain about how being poor down here? No.
Yeah.
Go south.
Yeah,
you go down there. You know, we couldn't drink the water. You know,
You can't drink the water here.
No. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Wayne,
yeah,
we always
2024. You can't drink the water here.
You know, it was an amazing experience. How poor those people were, and listen, they felt rich on just the little things they had. You know.
Yep. They must have responded when they heard the accordion and all,
man,
huh?
They loved it. They really loved it. And majority of the time we played in schools and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for the children. You know, it was amazing.
Well, you know, music, they can feel the authenticity of it. They feel the direct connection, even if they don't understand.
They don't understand what you're saying when you're singing in French, but they understand the feel of the music.
Right.
The groove.
Right.
They all enjoyed the beat, the sound of the beat of the music.
The intensity of it, the
absolutely,
attention.
Yes.
Sure.
Now, have you ever played with Flaco Jimenez?
I never got a chance to meet Mr. Flaco.
Oh, that's
But
good
I did
bad.
Get a chance to play with Slash.
Oh, Slash, really?
Where'd you play with Slash?
Jazz Festival with Carole King and Aaron Neville.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that? That was sitting in with you?
No. We were sitting in with Carol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Carol played Jazz Festival 2 years after her tour. And
Slash got up and played with Carol King?
Well, you know, Ted Andrianos, the keyboard player that was on tour with Carol,
uh-huh.
when the tour was over, he left and went and played with Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay.
You know?
That was the connection.
And, well, you know, they became friends. And when I guess when Carol asked Ted to go, he asked if Slash could come, and Slash came. And
well, you know, everybody in rock and roll, you say Carole King, it's an idol. We all idolize Carole King.
Yeah.
She was a writer in the earliest days of rock
writer,
and roll.
Yes.
And, you know, Tapestry, one of the greatest,
You know, the largest selling record until the Eagles... Hotel California came out.
Yeah. You know, still a huge record.
What, 18 million records? I mean, God almighty.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson didn't beat it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he beat them both, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not a competition, though.
Yeah, so 40,
we still,
he did 40
we still,
million.
Yeah.
You know, funny thing, it's like...
But by a female artist.
There you go.
Yeah. Michael was a female, wasn't he?
Well, he did idolize Liz Taylor. He was trying to turn himself into Liz Taylor.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, Liz Taylor.
But anyway, yeah,
Madonna.
You know.
Madonna.
You know, Carol was an amazing, and she invited everybody to go play a jazz fest, you know. And listen, this is like 3 months before Jeff Porcaro died.
Oh, okay.
And the band playing before us was Boss Skaggs.
Oh.
With Tower of Power horns and Jeff Porcaro playing drums.
Wow, okay. Now, Jeff Porcaro, famously...
Toto.
He played in Toto, but also a great session player, played on
God
a million records.
Been, yes.
But he was a huge cocaine user. Allegedly. But the cause of death was like a reaction to some sort of garden chemical.
Died in his yard.
Maybe he snorted that.
I don't know. I do not know. I just thought that was odd, you know, like some Roundup or something.
Yeah,
you're
you
not
know?
Supposed to drink that stuff, man.
But he died in his yard, from what I understand.
Crazy. Crazy.
Who was this?
Jeff Porcaro, the drummer for Toto.
Toto?
Yeah, you
and
remember
also
John
a session
Toto?
Drummer.
Yeah.
He's holding the line.
Yeah.
Love is it always on time.
But he played on a lot of sessions before that.
Oh, yeah.
Other, now, what about Poco? Poco was a good band.
I never played
you
with
like
him.
That band? That was Poco was kind of one of those Eagle offshoot bands.
Yeah, I kind of like Poco.
You like Poco?
Yeah.
You know, Porcaro.
Poco Loco.
You know, Porcaro and Steve Lukather, they played on The Power of Love with Huey Lewis, I believe.
Really?
Huey Lewis. That, now, I like him. He seems like a good guy.
You know what? I never got a chance to meet him, but he comes down to Gaydon and hunts every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Duck hunts every year down here.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, do you do much hunting?
No, I haven't hunted in a long time.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, I've never hunted.
Now, what do you kill when you hunt?
Ducks, geese, doves, rabbits.
Oh, really?
Well, that's something I wanted to ask you. What? Go ahead, man.
People, you kill people?
No, of course
not. Yet.
Not yet.
You know, when people, you know, hunt deer and, you know.
Well, so I wanted to ask you, like, when you were growing up, would y'all eat, like, squirrel?
Absolutely.
And what other kind of, like, would y'all hunt for that?
Rabbits and squirrel and ducks and geese. And
that was just like a standard part of the.
Oh yeah, man! Every winter, winter we'd go kill a bunch of ducks, put them and clean them and freeze them, and you know.
But like squirrel too, that
squirrel
kind of
too,
shit?
Yeah, squirrels.
Possum?
Squirrels? No, not a possum.
Not possum. That's
there
not
ain't no possum.
You
I ate a raccoon. You know.
Raccoon. Though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Now, did you ever go to Jack in a Box as a kid?
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite fast food restaurants.
I knew Jack in a Box, too.
Yeah, Jack in a Box is a good place to eat as a kid.
Popcorn surprise.
Because they have those 99-cent tacos.
You like those, man?
Yeah, very good.
I've been places where I knew Jack in the Box.
Now, when you were in Europe touring and stuff.
Yes, sir.
What did you like to eat? Did you go to try to find American food, or you would just eat the cuisine that you were the country that you're in?
Because
in Germany, I remember when I was in Germany, horse was a big thing.
You got to cook that for 2 days.
Bison.
Yeah, bison.
Bison.
Bison's good. It's,
we had bison. You know, back in the middle 90s, I remember though we was on tour for like 4 or 5 weeks, and we hadn't ate anything that was. And then when we got to Paris.
And you had palm frites in Paris.
Actually, they seen a Church's fried chicken. Not a Church's, Kentucky fried chicken.
Oh.
The bass player tried to order 12 pieces. They wouldn't give him 12. They gave him 3 orders of 4 piece.
Wow.
That's stupid.
That's weird. It's too much food. It's too much food for one person.
I tried to eat breakfast, and you know, to bring out the raw meat, whatever they call it, the eggs with the raw ground meat.
In France or Germany?
No, we're in France. We're in Paris.
Oh, okay. The tartare?
We're in Paris, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, the raw tartare.
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah, the egg with the raw meat.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And I like that.
I love it.
You don't get toast, you get a croissant.
Yeah, well, no, you get a baguette or croissant.
A baguette or croissant.
Yeah. And you just dip it.
Well, now when you were there in France, would you speak some lay some Cajun French on it?
They didn't understand me. All depends on where you go. You got to go to different sections. That's just like Canada.
Right.
You know, I can go to Nova Scotia and speak my language, and Montreal and speak my language.
Yeah.
But whenever you get up to Quebec, it's more Parisian.
Mm, okay.
More Parisian French.
Yeah.
You know, I can't understand a word they're saying.
Yeah. Fucking Parisians. They're crazy people. They're crazy.
They think they're better than everybody else.
Yeah. I love their breads, though. I love their
breads. I loved going to France. I loved going to Paris. You know, I took pictures of the Eiffel Tower and, you know.
Sure.
But I've been there.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You don't have a desire to go back.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I wish somebody would turn me on to the certain section of France where the good Bordeaux's are. Because I'd love to learn how to drink a good Bordeaux. The ones I've tasted, they taste like dirty socks.
You have to go to Champagne. Go to Champagne. I had great wines there.
So, Wayne, you are a big wine connoisseur.
Well, I love a good Cabernet, and, you know, a nice Shiraz is not bad, you know?
Well, you get one here.
Not here. Yeah, it comes with a screw top here. Now, every time I've been with you in Hawaii,
yeah.
you have not one or two bottles of Camus. You have 10 bottles of Camus. The first night that I was in your hotel room this past time, you opened 3 bottles of $300 bottle wine.
Well, no, they're not. They're not that expensive. You're going to put $75 to $100 a bottle. You know, but
you carry that with you. It's on your rider, right?
I get some on my rider. Yes, I do.
So what's on your rider?
You know, just a pair of underwear, clean a pair of socks.
Because you get raped every time you go there.
Well, I try not to, but
yeah, okay.
You know, it's hit.
Sounds
and miss.
Like a hell of a gig.
It's hit and miss. So at some point along the line, you like you do this record, the band Court Bouillon.
Coubillon.
Coubillon, there you go.
The band Coubillon.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? I had always had a vision of having a band called Coubillon, which is a famous Cajun dish, you know, usually made with crawfish or catfish. Catfish Coubillon or crawfish Coubillon.
Right, sure, I've heard that.
You know, it's a tomato sauce, red gravy, you know. And so I said, you know what? I want to put a band together and do some authentic Cajun music. So I called Steve Riley, who is an exceptional accordion player in his own right, you know, with the Mamou Playboys.
Steve Riley, a good buddy of mine, a guy who the Iguanas played many shows with him back in the 90s, 2000s.
Yeah, when he was with Rounder, man, they were amazing. You know, they did some really good dates.
And he's a fun guy.
Oh,
he's
no,
a fun
he is.
Guy to be around.
And then I called Wilson Savoy from the famous Savoy family.
Right.
He's got the famous Pine Leaf Boys.
Right.
Those two guys had both been nominated 4 times for Grammys when it was in the Cajun Zydeco section.
Uh-huh.
And when they did away with that, they did it, you know, regional roots.
Right.
So I called those guys, and they said, yeah, man, why don't we do that? And we got the bass player from Eric Fry.
Okay.
He can't play upright bass with us.
Okay.
And,
so
you know.
So kind of a traditional thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and listen, and the first time that me and Steve and Wilson
Steve
got together.
Steve's an accordion player.
He's an amazing.
Wilson an accordion player
absolutely.
Also? Okay, so he had 3 accordions.
Yeah, they're all both right. they're both accordion players, but
okay.
Wilson plays fiddle.
Okay.
And Steve plays fiddle and acoustic guitar.
I've never seen Steve play fiddle. All right.
So we get together for Wilson Savoy's birthday party, and we're supposed to play 75 minutes, and we play 3 hours. And that was at Café des Amis in Brobridge. So we put together the band, you know, Coubillon, and we went to Valcor Records, which is Wilson's brother, Joel Savoy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And we did the record. And we put it out, and I left to go on a cruise, you know, my own cruise, the Wayne Tibbs cruise on Royal Caribbean.
Wow.
And when we got back from the cruise, you know, I turned my phone off. I don't listen to that, none of that bullshit when I'm on vacation. You know, and when I got back, I turned my phone on. I had 100 text messages saying that we were nominated for a Grammy.
Nice.
And not knowing that the Grammys that the next year were during Mardi Gras weekend.
Okay.
So I called my booking agent and I said, look, you can put a freeze on everything. We're going to L.A.
You already had a feeling.
No. Oh. I just, win, lose, or draw, I'd already won. I was nominated.
Right, right.
I wanted to go and get the experience.
Right.
Because
right.
It might never happen again.
Yeah.
You know? And we went, we walked the red carpet, we stayed at the Biltmore, and they said, the band Cubio.
And you won. You won the Grammy.
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
You know, and I walked up there, I could barely speak. You know,
yeah.
I get emotional, I'm getting emotional now.
And you went to Alvarado Street to score Tar Heroin, right?
No, no, that was us. That was us.
I didn't go there.
Okay.
No, I didn't go there. But it's a good try.
You should go there. Good place.
But it was an amazing feeling.
Yeah,
you know, and...
Now, Steve must have been like...
And did he go?
He didn't go.
No, but both of them said, no, we're not gone, man. We already went a couple of times. We ain't going back.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that went. Joel came with me.
Okay. Well, I saw that picture, and I didn't see Steve on the photograph.
No,
all right. Well, good for you, man.
Hey, and the funniest thing, though, you know, so right before I won, Dr. John won one.
Nice.
Now, who is Dr. John?
Mac Rubenack.
Okay, yeah. I don't know who that guy is.
Man, he's from L.A. He's
you've been right, please. It's about to be the wrong time. You never heard that song?
Yeah, yeah, I think I have.
Anyway.
He seems like a good guy.
And I get back backstage, and he says, hey, little brother, congratulations. Just that voice like that,
nice,
you know? And he gave me a big hug. And
right.
You know, I did a few shows with him. He's such a sweetheart, you know?
Yeah, man.
But it was a great experience, and... you know, like I said, if it never happens again, I'm fine.
Sure.
I have won.
Yeah.
And even if I wouldn't have won one,
right.
I enjoyed the experience of being involved with something so special.
You can always pawn it for about $200, right?
Yeah, man.
That grand.
You know?
Yeah, man.
I can always cherish the experience. Even if I don't bring home a trophy, I can cherish the experience of walking the red carpet. I know I was there.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, so you were there at the night of the show? When
yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
and
sir.
And who was the presenter?
I have no idea.
And what was the nomination for?
Regional Roots Music.
Okay.
And we were in a category with the guy from Hawaii who wins a lot.
Right,
know?
Right.
And
Don Ho?
No, Don was dead.
No, it wasn't Don Ho.
No, some accordion. I mean, some ukulele player.
Yeah, some other band, I believe, from
so we've had guests here
Virginia,
who are Emmy winners,
Carolina,
but they don't
South
get
Carolina,
to go to
like
the big show. They go to the semi show.
Yeah, well, we were at the Nokia, and then we walked over. We had seats. Then we walked over to the. Staple Singer, the center.
That's the big shit. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we got to watch. You know, Bruno Mars was there, and Ziggy Marley was there, and Adele. She showed up.
Three of the worst people I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, wow.
Bruno Mars sucks.
Man.
Bruno Mars.
Oh, he sucks. That guy sucks.
He's the most amazing artist on earth.
Oh, really?
Yes,
well,
sir.
Get in line then, I guess. You know, and Adele. It's like
she's
seals
amazing.
Being beaten to death, if you ask me.
So music
she's
lover,
awful.
You can tell. Yeah, yeah.
And who else are you talking about?
Anyway.
Ziggy Marley was there.
Ziggy Marley. Yeah. He's living on his dad's fame, you know, who got cancer of the foot. You know,
it's tough, Wayne. You know,
though. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Yep. We're all doing the best we can.
That's why we all love him, huh?
Yep. Well, so Wayne, we're kind of on the downslope of the podcast.
Okay, sure.
Thank God.
Just looking forward to the next once or twice a week. You play a sold out, packed show in a town that I've never heard the name of before.
We should, you know, we shoot for the stars all the time.
But the people come. You play in West Louisiana, Central Louisiana, East Texas. And
we do a lot of shows, you know,
man.
You know.
And coming up, I saw on the calendar. Besides all of your regional shows, you have the Big Blues Bender in Las Vegas coming up in early September, like 5th through the 8th. And you have the Festival Acadian and
we do the big Cajun band there. You know,
okay, oh,
three fiddle good. Players, a steel guitar player.
Nice, and that's in early October.
Yeah, that's on the 13th.
Yeah. Nice. Wayne, thank you so much.
Thank you, Renee.
Man, thanks for making the trip.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you, sir, for your patience, sir.
Thanks for showing up.
Appreciate it.
You're a good guy.
And as always in the Troubled Men podcast, we like to say trouble never ends. But
hey, listen, man, the struggle continues. Good night.
Good night.
Mais moi je suis là, quand tu es titan.